it don't work, it ain't no big deal. This ain't much of a message anyway. Ma'am? Yeah. I did kind of... We were talking about the hole in front of our face, though, right? And we were discussing lip movements, those kind of things, and the different way people talk. Some people talk, and if you watch people, everybody does it different, and you are unique. It's almost like your fingerprints. Some people talk, and one corner of their mouth will move. Or some people talk, and they don't project well because they don't use their lips and their tongue in talking. Their words just tend to roll off, and it's like they're mumbling. For example, if I talk without using my tongue or my lips, listen how it sounds. You see, I need those beautiful lips I have to make the words sound like me, Brother Lewis. Hi, well, how you doing? But everybody's different, and it's fun to watch them. If you watch people eat, the way they chew, you ever watch the people? Some people chew, and their mouth kind of does like this kind of a motion, you know? That lower jaw goes out and back. Some people just go up and down. I know a fella, when he eats, he just chomps. I mean, it looks like a dog. You ever watch a dog? See, a dog can't chew. A dog chomps. Okay. Some people eat just like a dog. I mean, they act like a pig, but they eat like a dog. This hole in the front of your face is a strange thing. But we do a lot of things with it other than eat. Now, one of my favorite things in life is feeding the old pie hole. I love to eat. Amen. And the better the food, the more I can eat. But that's not the main thing we do with it. We can breathe through it. If you have sinus congestion, hay fever, allergies, head cold, summer cold, winter cold, flu, all those things, you can, with your nose entirely stopped up, get a fresh breath of air through the hole in your face. Amen. So it's a very valuable instrument. Very needful. If we sew yours shut, it would change your life. Somebody say amen. Now, but the main thing that we do with this hole in the front of our face is talk. We use this thing to communicate. Now, I'm thankful that we can use it to eat and to breathe. And all those things are necessary and all that, and I appreciate it. But we spend more time talking through the hole in our face than we do eating and feeding the hole in our face. Amen? Now, men are more proud of and more content with the hole in their face than women. When's the last time you saw a real man put on lipstick to tie and decorate it? Or go down to the doctor and get one of those collagen shots to puff it up so it looks like you've got one? Well, you've got one. You might as well live with the one you got, but you ought to use it aright. Amen? Now, sometimes we use the hole in our face to overindulge and we eat too much. But I guarantee you, everybody has misused the hole in their face when it comes to talking. Amen? And that really is kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning, the hole in your face. Now, in order to do this properly, there are, in the Bible, three terms that are, to some degree, used like synonyms. Even though they're different words, we use them to kind of say the same thing. Sometimes the Bible talks about the mouth. Sometimes the Bible talks about the lip. And sometimes the Bible talks about the tongue. Those three, and when you see how they're used, you know that the Bible's talking about the same thing. It's talking about your speech. Men of lying lips, men of perverse lips. My mouth will utter thy praise. See? So we talk about the lip, the tongue. The mouth is the whole orifice. The lip, of course, is what shapes our word and keeps our water from running down our chin. Amen. And the tongue is what helps to form and shape words and helps you move your food around so you can chew it up and swallow it. It takes all three of those to get the job done. And so the Bible often refers to the mouth or the lips or the tongue, but in most cases it's talking about speech. Sometimes it does refer to food and other things, but most of the time the references in the Bible that deal with the mouth, the lips, and the tongue talking about what you said. So I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. I'm going to give you some examples here. For example, the word mouth, found in James chapter 3 and verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. So you know right away that the mouth can be misused. See? You can use it to bless, and you can use it to curse. Everything in this world can be misused. Matter of fact, if you stop and think about it, every bad thing in the world is a good thing twisted. Back over in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, it said, and God created, and it was good, and He saw this, and it was good, and He made that, and it was good, and it was... Everything God did was good. Right? Then where did all the bad come from? Well, all the bad came from taking what God made good and misusing it. So every bad thing in the world is a good thing twisted or perverted. God made the mouth. He made it to praise God and to bless with. But man uses it to curse. Then lips. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, this people honoreth me with their mouth. This people, something other with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. See? We use those lips to honor God or to dishonor God. Then the tongue, found in Psalm chapter 5, verse 9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. And they flatter with their tongue. See? So now there's three examples, and in each place it's talking about what we said. One place is referring to the mouth, one to the lips, and one to the tongue. And so I wanted to give you that background because I'm going to use all three of those terms this morning to talk about talking and what we use the hole in the front of our face for. Hereafter referred to as the orifice. Somebody say amen. Now, first of all, I want to look at the power of the orifice. The power of the lips, the power of the mouth, the power of the tongue. And it is absolutely amazing how powerful this one little instrument really is. In our modern world, and with all of our technology, we think about an aircraft carrier. That's a powerful war machine. Or we think about the power of the atom bomb, or the power of a nuclear power station. We think about the power of armies. I'm here to tell you, the thing in the front of your face is more powerful than any of those. The average person seldom, if ever, stops to consider how much power is right here in the hole in your face. Let me show you that. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That is, you can use your tongue, your mouth, or your lips to get folks killed. Most people who get killed is because somebody said something. You ever read about these bar fights and stuff where somebody drags out their 44 Magnum and blows the next guy away? Why did he do that? Because the other guy took the orifice in the front of his face and said something that ticked that guy off. Amen? You know why most people get in fights? You know why most husbands and wives, why we end up with spousal abuse? Because somebody said something. Something came out of the hole in their faith that offended somebody or angered somebody, and they end up fighting about it. Do you know how all wars start? Well, they start with a declaration. Somebody has to stand up and say something. You know what's in the power of the tongue? Life and death. The president or whoever has the authority, has the power to issue a command with his mouth that will send thousands of people to their death. That will take all of the other powerful agencies in the world, the ships, the planes, the atomic energy, all of our means of destruction, all of our faculties, all of our abilities, and direct those toward one single goal, the annihilation of humanity. You know what's in the power of the tongue? It has the power of death and of life. You know what President Clinton did just before he finished up his last term in office, which was at least 8 years too late. But just before he went out, he used executive privilege to give pardon or amnesty to some people for their crimes. He has in his power, like the governor, the power to say no or to stay an execution. He can, by saying a single word, spare a life. That's a lot of power. So where'd that come from? The hole in your face. The little orifice below your nose and above your chin. Amen. And in some cases, not so little orifice. Great power. James, Bible said in James chapter 3 and verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. 99% of all the iniquity and violence and meanness in the world was originally started by somebody opening that mouth, saying something. Being ugly, being mean, being hateful, being deceitful. But they ran their mouth and started an issue, created a conflict, and the result of that thing just spread everywhere. The Bible says that the tongue is a world of iniquity. It is amazing what despicable and ungodly and wicked things have been discussed using the tongue of man that was created to bless God and glorify Him, and yet we use it for the vilest and most reprehensible things that you can possibly imagine. Sometimes the words and the language that comes forth out of the hole in the middle of our face ought to make the devil blush. Say, who talks like that? Well, almost everybody you know. If they're not saved, and sometimes some of them. Amen? I've known some Christians, it's taken them years to get a handle on their tongue and get rid of the profanity. But I'm still working on it. So there is great power in the tongue or in the mouth. And this hole in your face can generate more trouble in 2 minutes than the world can get out of in 5 years of combat. Then, not only is there the power of this orifice, there is the major uses of this orifice. What do we use this thing for? Day in and day out, over the course of our life, what have you used your mouth for? Here's what it's generally used for. Number one, lying. Amen? Well, it has to start with lying because the Bible said they come forth from the womb speaking lies. The first sin you ever committed was a lie. Amen? Now, you may have committed every other sin there is since then, but I know where you started. Amen? So why is it? Because your father is a liar. The Bible said, ye are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. See? First sin you committed was to lie. It's a shame we never get over that. Some of you ever hear parents say, well, I'll tell you right now, I know my children. My children don't lie. I can believe what my children say. You know right then and there, you're talking to the village idiot. The one that got away and everybody's looking for it, you got him. Don't let him escape. He needs locking up. I'm here to tell you the sweetest, nicest little kid you ever met in your life that came from the goodest and the godliest family and who has been taught and instructed and prayed for, they will lie in a skinny minute. And if you don't believe that, you're nuts. Amen. Mamas and daddies say, oh, I know my kids, they wouldn't lie to me. You don't know what time of day it is, son. I mean, you're dumber than a brick. They all lie. Have you ever noticed that the most natural reflex in the world, when you are confronted with trouble, when you've not done something you should, or done something you shouldn't, or said something you probably need to apologize for, amen, or you find some situation where you're going to be embarrassed if the truth comes out, amen, or some place that's not going to make you look good if it goes abroad, do you know what the first thing you do is? Your first inclination is to lie about it. Why is that? People say all the time, well, I just do what comes naturally. I'll tell you what, lying comes naturally. I tell folks all the time, don't do what comes naturally. Everything I ever did that came naturally was wicked as hell. If I did what's naturally, son, I'd be living just like I lived before. Lying. We use that tongue to lie. The Bible said in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Psalm 78:36 said, and they lied unto Him with their tongue. Lying lips, lying tongue. Boy. The hole in the front of your face just has a natural proclivity to falsehood. That is, you lie like a dog if you ain't careful. Now, the Bible said in the New Testament, lie not one to another. The Bible said, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It is a sin to use the hole in your face to tell lies. The Bible said, speak ye the truth, every man to his neighbor. You know what God wants? God wants you to tell the truth. So why don't you tell the truth? Well, I have seen some people that they just like to lie. I've seen some people tell lies when the truth would have sounded better. Amen? But I mean, they just lie. But usually it's to cover our butt. Or we lie because there's some advantage in it for us. Amen? But almost all lying ends up being selfish. In the final analysis, if you take the time to boil it down and get through all the psychobabble, it's because there was something in it for you. That's why you told the lie. You're not supposed to lie. You say, well, preacher, sometimes if you told the truth, it'd be embarrassing. It would, wouldn't it? You ever been in one of them situations, man, if you told the truth, you ain't going to come off looking too hot. You ever had one of those instances where something pops up all of a sudden and before you think about it, you say something, and the minute you say, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. That was a bald-faced lie. You ever had to pray about 4 or 5 hours before you could go back and get the grace to straighten it out? Because you know the minute you do, they're going to say, I forgive you. But they say, you know what most of them say? Why did he do that for? I'd have killed, I wouldn't have told nobody. Well, it's just amazing how easy it is to lie with that hole in your face. And it's amazing who tells lies too. But anyway, Not only is one of the major uses of the tongue to lie, one of the major uses of the tongue is cursing. Now, I'm not going to give you a practical demonstration of that this morning. Brother Lewis will do that this afternoon. Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing. Matthew chapter 26 verse 74 said, then began to curse and to swear. He said, who was that? That's old Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church. You know, the Roman Catholics got the church built on Peter. I'll tell you something. They've been lying and cussing ever since. Amen, buddy. The church ain't no better than its foundation, right? That's the reason I don't think it's built on Peter. I think it's built on Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. But Peter was a lying, cussing fisherman. Come on, if you ever think about Peter, you know, people always talk about good old Peter and how commendable it was because he walked on the water, you know. Well, he failed at that. He doubted and sank. But Peter cursed and swore. He denied the Lord. And he was out in a fishing boat naked. Amen. Buddy, this is the cream de la cream here. This is the upper echelon of Christianity. Amen. So what he's saying, I'm saying God takes the base things of this world, buddy. And you want to put Peter and them up on a pedestal somewhere, and you ought to in a certain sense, but you better remember they're men just like me and you. Amen. Amen. And they had faults and weaknesses and sins just like me and you. Amen. Now, Peter cursed. And of course, you go through the Bible, there's all kind of cursing and swearing. Now, a lot of times, cursing in the Bible does not mean profanity. It means to pronounce an anathema on somebody. That is, to ask God to curse them. You know, may the fleas of 1,000 camels light under your armpits. Amen. That's a curse. See? The mummy, remember the curse of the mummy? The curse of the... Those are curses. That is, somebody's pronounced an anathema that brings sorrow and sadness and anguish on whoever it is that has been cursed. Voodoo is the practice of cursing. But sometimes cursing is profanity. It means to swear and to use bad language, to use corrupt communication, to use bad words. So where do those come from? Well, they come out of the hole in your face. Now, listen to me. Follow the logic for a second. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you know where all that stuff comes from that comes out of your mouth? It came from right here. You know why? You know where all that anger comes from? Where all that malice comes from? Or all that meanness comes from? That you spew out as you open your mouth and blaspheme and curse and swear and use all those bad words. You know where it comes from? It came from right here. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what people need? We need a new heart. We need to get our heart right. We need to get our heart in tune with God. And then the things that came out of the hole in our face would be acceptable and pleasing unto Him. But let me tell you, people say, well, I didn't mean it. Yeah, you did. It came from your heart. Walt Disney used to have a thing, you know, I forget what it was, that Walt Disney Presents or something. But they sang that song and one of the lines in it was, a dream is a wish that the heart makes. They're saying it comes from in here. Well, what you talk about, what comes up, your attitude about it, it comes out of here. But it's revealed to the world right here. You know, you could fool the world about what a sorry devil you are if you could learn to keep your mouth shut. Amen. If you could tie a knot in your tongue, if you could staple your lip together, people never would know what a rascal you were. Amen. It's a shame that Christians have to use those kind. You ought to improve your vocabulary. Listen. There's some really spiritual ways to tell somebody off and not use all them bad words. You don't have to give up your meanness. You have to sanctify it. Let me digress a minute. I read a thing probably a month ago. And I've been thinking about that thing off and on ever since. And this is a really profound statement. Now, it sounds really simple when you first say it. But the more you think about it, the bigger that thing gets. Profound things are like that. They start little so you can get a handle on it. And as you grasp and understand it and comprehend it, it expands on you. That's the way really profound things are. So that simple people can get simple truths that are profound. And as they progress intellectually, the truth progresses intellectually. So that once you grasp it in its entirety, it's a life-changing, life-transforming concept. I read someplace, and this guy said, If you want to find out what somebody's like, that was the subject, you know, was talking about what people really are. He said, if there is any meanness, if there is any selfishness, if there is any pettiness in a man, give him a little authority and it will be revealed. Man, I got to think about that. Well, that's a nugget. You take some guy that's just an ordinary worker or something and make him a little shift supervisor or something. If that's what he really is. See, how he handles that reveals who he is, what he is. And I got to think, oh, I'm having a good time with that. Amen. Where was I at? So the mouth, the hole in your face is used to curse and to swear. Sometimes people use God as a curse word, a swear word. And you know what they're cursing and swearing at? The creature that God made. Isn't that strange? Now, not only is the hole in your face used for lying and cursing, sometimes it's used to flatter. Psalm 12:2, the Bible said, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips." Proverbs 20:19 said, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." Now, I want you to make sure you understand what flattery is. If I look at Mrs. Hensley and I say, "Mrs. Hensley, you look really nice this morning," that's a compliment. Amen. If I go to Sister Nathalie and I say, "Sister Nathalie, you look really pretty this morning," that's a compliment. Amen. If I go to Brother Henry and say, "Brother Henry, you look really nice this morning," that's a lie. It was Sister Geraldine that looks really nice. Those are compliments. The difference between the compliment and flattery is fawning over. It's to exaggerate and to embellish beyond truth or reason or believability. I was preaching at a camp meeting some years ago up in the mountains of Mount Airy, North Carolina. And I preached in the morning. In fact, we got there late and I hadn't even put on my coat and tie. I mean, I was still in street clothes. I was incognito. And the guy that was running the thing asked me to come preach. I said, "Brother," I said, he said, "come on, don't worry about it." So I didn't have a Bible or nothing. You know, I just ad-libbed it for about 40 minutes. And when I got through preaching, this little old lady came over and she said, "Brother Anthony," so that was the best preaching I've ever heard. "I just never heard anybody like you. You are so," I mean, she just went on and on. And I knew she was lying. Because, I mean, I didn't have an outline or nothing, man. I just took me a thought and ran with it. And whatever popped up, I shot at it. You know, one of them kind of things. And she just kept on and on and on. And then we saw her in the evening service and she came back and she started all over again. That's flattery. It's BS. And that ain't Barbara Streisand and it ain't bread stuffing. I am good, but I ain't that good. Amen. I listened to her as long as I thought she was in the realm of reality. Which was a while. And then... But then she just got right on out there in outer space somewhere. Now you better watch folks that flatter you. They're after something. Amen? But people use their tongue. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to ingratiate themselves. They're trying to get on your good side. They're sucking up. They're getting points. Amen? Now I don't know anybody that does not appreciate an honest compliment. A lot of times, I stand back in the back and our ladies come in, and if they've got on a new outfit or something, I say, "Is that a new outfit?" "Well, it is." "Well, it looks really nice on you." That's a compliment. But if you stand there for 5 minutes ranting and raving, even they know you're lying. Amen? Amen. We're talking about misuses of the tongue, the hole in your face. Now, I could give you a whole litany of things and ways that we misuse the hole in our face. But rather than bore you with that, let me get to the message. Here's what should be done with the hole in your face. I was thinking about it and I thought, you know, I want to illustrate that there's a problem with the way we use our mouth. I want you to understand that and that it's absolutely universal. We all do it. But we need to learn to control it. Amen. We need to watch what we say. Matter of fact, our text there, if you go back and look at that, it said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Now, just because you have a propensity to misuse it doesn't make it all right. You say, "Well, I just can't help myself. That's just the way I am." Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is a lifelong process of trying to be better than you were when you started. Trying to be better than you were yesterday. Amen? I don't want to be the same man. I don't want to be the same preacher. I don't want to be the same Christian. I don't want to be the same husband a year from now that I am to meet now. I want to be better. I want to keep improving and get better and better and better. Amen? So how should we use our mouth? It's one thing to stand up here and I could rant and rave for a couple of hours about the misuses and the abuses of the hole in your face. But I would rather spend my time telling you how it should be used so that you not only want to quit what you're doing, you have some point and some direction in which to go. So let me give you several things here as quickly as I can. What should be done with the orifice in your face? Number one, you ought to use it for confession. Romans chapter 10, verse 10, "And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10, 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus." Romans 10, 8 said, "For the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth," the word of faith which we preach. You know what you ought to do? Every person, I wish every person on the planet would confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Take that old mouth of yours and use that thing one time and use it right and use it to confess that Jesus is the Christ to the glory of God the Father. Own Him as your Lord and Savior. Receive Him as your King. Take Him as your substitute. Let Him save you and adopt you into the family of God. How do you do that? You do that with your mouth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Say, why with the mouth? Well, we believe in our heart and with the mouth. Remember, we talk about as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, it will come out right here at the hole in your face. Brother, we ought to use this thing to confess. We ought to confess that Jesus is the Christ. We ought to use it to confess our sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. How do you get it? Well, you get it with the mouth. People say, "Well, I can just do it in my heart." The Bible said you need your mouth. Amen? People say, "Well, I don't think you have to pray that way." Well, I do. Amen? Say, why? Because I believe what's in here will inevitably come out right here. And if it don't ever show up here, it probably ain't down there. Amen? Our mouth to confess that Jesus is the Christ, and we need to use that mouth and that hole in the front of our face to confess our sin. Not only that, after you've done that, after you've owned Jesus Christ and confessed Him as Lord and Savior, there's some things you are to do. For example, you are to use the hole in your face to declare His righteousness. In Psalm 35:28, the Bible said, "My tongue shall speak of Thy righteousness." Buddy, I'm here to tell you, I was 27 years old when I got saved. I've been in the Navy 10 years. I've been around the world. I've been every kind of hellhole, high-diet, whorehouse, and filthy, godless place you can possibly imagine. In all the sailor ports, Singapore, Manila in the Philippines, Baguio, I've been all in places. If anybody deserved to die and go straight to hell, you're looking at the number one candidate. Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners, and the only reason he could say that was because I was 2,000 years late getting born. Amen. And you know something? One night, the God of glory reached down and took that vile, miserable, wretched piece of nothing and washed him in the precious blood of the Lamb and adopted him into the family of God and made me a son. Amen. Made me an heir and a king. Washed my sins away and cleaned my conscience and put me in the bloodline of heaven. You know what I've been wanting to do ever since? I've been wanting to talk about His righteousness. I want to take my tongue. I want to take my lips. I want the hole in my face to declare His righteousness. I want the whole world to know that God loves sinners and that He'll save them, change them, and make them new creatures. Amen. I'm not interested in talking about the results of the World Series and all that. Help yourself. I'm not against it. But I'll tell you what. I want to spend some of my time. I want to spend a lot of my time. I'd like to spend most of my time telling the world what a righteous God did for an unrighteous sinner one night at 25 minutes after 11 at a little trailer park down in Meridian, Mississippi. I want to use my tongue to declare His righteousness. Then I want to use the hole in my face to praise Him. The Bible said in Psalm 63 and 5, "My mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips." I was watching and listening to our song service this morning. And to be quite honest, it was anything in this world but joyful. You can sing the songs of Zion and not have any joy in the singing. And it's not because the piano playing isn't good. It's pretty doggone good. And it's not because the songs aren't good. They're good songs. You know what controls that joy that you sing with and that sound that comes forth from the hole in your face? What's in your heart, buddy? If it's filled with praise and it's filled with thanksgiving because of what God Almighty has done, you can sing some praises. Amen? I want to tell everybody how good God has been to me. If you're saved by God's grace, God's been mighty good to you. And you ought to want to tell everybody, I mean everybody, how good God has been. And we ought to declare His praise. And our mouth ought to speak His praise all the time. You ought to be able to get God in your conversation. At work and at home and with the neighbors and on vacation. There ought not be any place or any time or anywhere or with anybody that you spend time that you don't find some way, somehow, to praise Him for all He's done. Then we use the hole in our face to witness for Him. Ephesians 6:19 says this, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." You know what I want to do? I want to use this thing to tell others about Jesus Christ. There really is a world out there lost, without God, and without hope. They're headed to a devil's hell. Just as sure as there's a God in glory, they're going to burn. And God has given us this instrument right here that we can use for the glory of God to keep sinners out of the lake of fire. We can use our mouth. It's not something we have to acquire. We don't have to purchase it. We were born, we came equipped with this hole in our face. What we have to do is redirect its use. From glorifying the devil, from singing the songs of the world and talking the world's talk and all that, to speaking about God to lost sinners. There is no reason, if you can talk, if you do not have a speech impediment, if you're not tongue-tied, if your vocal cords work, if you have the orifice, if you have the lips, if you have the tongue, there is no excuse for you not to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now don't give me that stuff about, well, that's the preacher's job, and that's the deacon's job, and that's the associate's job. That's everybody's job. You a disciple? How many Christians are disciples? Well, you're all supposed to be. Amen? And all the disciples were commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How do you preach it? With your mouth. People say, well, my life is my testimony. Hey, stupid, let me tell you something. Your life won't save nobody. Amen? I tell you, the best thing your life can do is get you an open door. Amen? If they see you out here drinking and smoking, carousing around, telling dirty jokes, and then you try to talk to them about God, they're not going to listen. Amen? So, if I live a clean life and I don't drink, cuss, smoke, chew, and all that other stuff, and they see me faithful and diligent in the house of God, they think, well, there's something to it that's real. And then when I try to tell them with the orifice in the front of my face about Jesus Christ, they are more inclined to listen. But my good life ain't going to save nobody. What does it take? It takes the word of faith. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Amen. We have to speak forth the word of truth, and we must do it boldly. and for me, that utterance be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, you need a testimony. You need that clean life, buddy, because without it, you don't stand a snowball's chance. But if you think that's all that's required of you, you're daydreaming. You need to live that life and walk that walk and talk that talk so that when the folks are down and out, when they find that hunger, when they have a need and they come to you for help and solace and comfort, you can open your mouth and point them to Jesus Christ. The only thing I have that can help anybody is Him. Then last but not least, this hole in your face ought to be used to sing His songs. Isaiah 12:5, the Bible said, "Sing unto the Lord, He hath done excellent things." Psalm 66, verse 2, "Sing forth the honor of His name." Psalm 59:16, "I will sing aloud of Thy mercy in the morning." Ephesians 5:19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." When are you supposed to sing? In the morning, at noon, and at night, buddy. Amen? You ought to get up in the morning, turn your CD player on, turn on Christian radio, satellite radio, whatever it is you got, turn your CD player on, turn on the radio and find that gospel music station. I'm here to tell you ought to listen to them songs about God and about Christ. You ought to get rid of that old country music and all that rock and roll and all that jazz and all that nonsense and use that thing for what God intended it for, to sing His praises. You know what kind of music you sing? Kind you listen to. Amen. I'm just going to listen to Southern gospel. I ain't going to listen to no contemporary. By the way, you ever think about this? Sometimes contemporary music is by far and away the most difficult music, the most complicated music. A lot of contemporary music, the writing and the instrumentation, the performance of it, is way, the professionalism required, the talent required, is way above Southern gospel. You say, what's the problem with it then? The lyrics. What it says. The words that come out of their mouth, that's the problem. See, some of y'all thought we were so dumb we didn't know the difference. We know the difference. We're going to listen to it anyway. Amen. As simple as most of us is, or we need simple music anyhow. Amen. But anyway, that's the reason Brother Carroll listens to bluegrass. You don't get no simpler than that. He come up the other night and he drove up in his car and I could hear it when he drove up out there. You know, he rolled his window down and he had some bluegrass gospel group on there. And I said, "Boy, you listen to bluegrass?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to convert you." I don't think so. Whatever you sing, it ought to glorify Him. Amen. Amen. And I don't even like music. I'm going to digress here for just a second, if y'all allow me. Actually, I'm going to go do it anyway. We have a thing these days called crossover music, where it blurs the line between secular and Christian. I don't like it. Amen. Now, some of it, actually, if you listen to it, sounds pretty good. It's just, where did it originate? Who's it identify me with? They got this song out, "Long Black Train." That's a country song. And there ain't no gospel in it. There's a religious line in it. See? So, man, I like that. That's my favorite song. Well, my flesh likes a lot of things that are wicked. I still like you. So what are you saying? I'm saying you ought to take that mouth of yours and you ought to talk about Him. You ought to praise Him and talk of His righteous deeds. You ought to brag on what He's done for you and praise His name. And when you sing, you ought to open your mouth and sing for the glory of God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Let's take the hole in the front of our face and use it like it ought to be used. Aren't you tired of using it for the devil and the world and his crowd? Why don't we redirect it? Why don't we get it converted? Why don't we use it for God? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace.